Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
DOE awards Harmony Public Schools $27.8 million grant. OA News at OAOA.com. The U.S. Department of Education recently awarded a $27.8 million Teacher and School Leader Incentive Grant to Harmony Public Schools to train, equip, and retain top-level school leaders at its campuses across the state. This project will strengthen and evolve Harmony's existing human capital management system, developed through a previous Department of Education grant project, Teacher Incentive Fund, 2016, to more explicitly focus on strengthening instructional leadership by better positioning and supporting current and rising principals and instructional leadership teams to excel and remain in their roles, especially in high-need schools. Harmony has 50 schools designated as high needs throughout the state. The project design draws on proven research showing that strong instructional leadership improves educator effectiveness, which, in turn, accelerates growth in student outcomes. Harmony was one of only 13 school systems in the country to receive the DOE grant and the largest of three Texas recipients, a news release said. The new funding brings the total amount awarded to Harmony by the Department of Education within the past few years to $92.5 million. In 2012, the DOE awarded Harmony a $30 million Race to the Top grant to support locally developed plans to personalize and deepen student learning, directly improve student achievement and educator effectiveness, close achievement gaps, and prepare every student to succeed in college and their careers. In 2016, the DOE awarded Harmony a $26.7 million Teacher Incentive Fund grant to develop a merit-based system for rewarding its highest-performing teachers. The system, known as H-STEP, H-S-T-E-P, was foundational in Harmony being named to the Texas Education Agency's inaugural class of Teacher Incentive Allotment Districts in fall 2020. In 2018, the DOE awarded Harmony an $8 million Education Innovation Research Grant to build upon Harmony's project-based learning STEM model for grades 6 through 12 students by introducing similar curricula to students in grades kindergarten through 5 and by creating a system of support and professional development for elementary school teachers. Harmony Public Schools is a Texas-born, statewide public charter school system with campuses serving pre-kindergarten through 12 students in 23 cities across the state, including Greater Houston, DFW, San Antonio, Austin, El Paso, Waco, Lubbock, Odessa, Bryan, Beaumont, and the Rio Grande Valley. Harmony's curriculum places a heavy focus on STEM skills, character education, project-based learning, and college readiness. In 2020, all 23 Harmony High School campuses were named among the best high schools in America by U.S. News & World Report, 13 named to the best STEM high schools in America by Newsweek, and earned 2 National School of Character recognitions from character.org. Harmony Public Schools is currently accepting applications for the 2020-2021 school year for both students and team members. ECISD taking applications for Odessa Pathway to Teaching. OA News at OAOA.com. Ector County ISD is offering another chance to train new teachers for the upcoming school year and roll out program revisions. Odessa Pathway to Teaching is ECISD's alternative certification program and is designed for individuals who have a bachelor's degree and want to pursue a teaching career. It is a partnership between ECISD and TNTP, a national nonprofit organization working to end educational inequality by ensuring that all students get excellent teachers. Founded by teachers and inspired by the power of great teaching to change lives, TNTP helps schools, districts, and states develop great teachers, manage their teaching talent strategically, and build systems that prioritize effective teaching in every classroom. Through this partnership, ECISD has designed a specialized training program that focuses on the most important skills effective educators bring to their classrooms, a news release said. The district believes a great education can make a difference in the lives of students and the community. ECISD is committed to preparing great teachers to meet our community's needs. To benefit OPT candidates and ultimately the students they serve, ECISD has made key improvements to strengthen the program by expanding the timeline to give prospective teachers more time to prepare for and ultimately pass their certification exam, narrowing the certification areas available to address our areas of highest need. Teacher candidates can pursue certifications in core subjects, early childhood, EC 2-6, core subjects 4-8, English language arts, reading, ELAR, 7-12, math 7-12, or science 7-12. Adjusting the staff model to provide a dedicated team of experienced talent development coaches who can deliver the support essential to the success of a first-year teacher. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, October 6th, 2020, OAOA.com. Street work starting. OA News at OAOA.com. Beginning Monday, the City of Odessa Street Department will begin a friction seal project on residential roads. This is a treatment to the roadway surface to help extend pavement life and increase the overall condition of asphalt, a news release said. The streets will be temporarily closed, meaning there will be no traffic permitted from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. on the day of the treatment. Residents are asked to park on a side street if they will need to get out during this time. Curbside parking is also prohibited during this time. Residents are also asked to reduce, eliminate sprinkler system overspray before and for 24 hours following street closure. Water can damage uncured treatment and delay the project. This project will be ongoing until November. The residential streets that will be worked on this week are Charles Walker Road, Monday, Avenida del Sol, Monday, Vista del Sol, Tuesday, Tuberosa Court, Tuesday, Zacate Drive, Tuesday, Millick Circle, Tuesday, Maravilla Circle, Tuesday, Cassia Road, Wednesday, Tobosa Avenue, Wednesday, Lemonwood Lane, Thursday, Applewood Drive, Thursday, Somerset Lane, Thursday, Fountain Lane, Thursday, Valleybrook Lane, Thursday, Innsbruck, Friday, Orchard Lane, Friday, Pebble Court, Friday, Fountain Court, Friday, Garden Lane, Friday, Preston Asks Circle, Friday. OC Facebook Live event focuses on teachers' impact. OA News at OAOA.com. Passing knowledge on to future generations and recalling teachers who impacted their lives was the focus of the Odessa College Facebook Live Lunch and Learn, marking World Teachers Day Monday. The virtual event featured moderator Purvis Evans, Dean of Liberal Arts and Education, and speakers Tremaine Anderson, Vice President for Instruction, Karen Doty, Associate Vice President for Instruction Operations, Charles Kintella, Director of Teacher Education Programs, Christy Latimer, Professor of Communication, and student Stephen Holler. If you think about it, the arts, art and science of teaching is something that is generational. It's something that is worldwide. The idea of apprenticeship, the idea of passing something on, it's such a noble profession and it's rightly so that we dignify the profession and celebrate it today, Evans said. Kintella said they are in a mentorship capacity. Everybody has their specialty, and a good teacher is going to bring that out of you, Kintella said. Latimer said the coronavirus pandemic has a silver lining. I think we're lucky not to be able to do business as normal, because now we're thinking outside the box. In order to grow, we have to be uncomfortable. I think that is what teachers are doing, she said. Kintella said teachers are now being made to incorporate all the best practices that enhance what they do as teachers. Our faculty, our teachers here at Odessa College, have exemplified what you just said. Problem-solving, solution-focused. They have done it for some months now and are continuing to innovate. I can't say enough about our faculty and what's been done and what's continuing to happen, Anderson said. Big Bend Seminar explores conservation values strategies. OA News at OAOA.com. Alpine. Residents of West Texas are invited to attend a free webinar from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. on October 22nd. Conservation Values and Strategies for the Last Frontier will feature a discussion about how the Greater Big Bend area is special from both a natural resource and cultural value standpoint, and what strategies can be applied to conserve these values. The seminar will feature two experts from the Borderlands Research Institute at Sul Ross State University, Louis Harvison and Billy Tarrant. Harvison will share the regional values that were identified by the Stakeholder Advisory Group for guidance in the Respect Big Bend effort, which describe why the Greater Big Bend region is unique and worth conserving. Tarrant will describe the possible tools and strategies needed to minimize the impacts that future development can bring. Harvison is the founder and director of the Borderlands Research Institute and holds the Dan Allen Hughes Jr. Endowed Directorship. Tarrant is the Associate Director of Stewardship Services at Borderlands Research Institute, where his main responsibilities are coordinating local stakeholder engagement as part of the Respect Big Bend initiative and facilitating resources for landowners and conservation partners. Register for the October 22nd webinar. https://respectbigbend.org/events/conservation-values-and-strategies-for-the-last-frontier. More information about Respect Big Bend Coalition can be found at respectbigbend.org. Education Foundation of Odessa receives grant from Dollar General Literacy Foundation. OA News at OAOA.com. Dollar General Literacy Foundation recently awarded the Ector County ISD Education Foundation a $4,000 grant to support youth literacy initiatives. This local grant award is part of more than $4 million in grants awarded this fall to nearly 850 nonprofit organizations, libraries, and schools across the 46 states that Dollar General serves. This generous grant from the Dollar General Literacy Foundation will impact Ector County ISD students in grades pre-K through first grade through our Bookworms Literacy Program, said Education Foundation Director Celeste Potter. For the 2020-2021 school year, there are more than 6,000 students benefiting from the Bookworms Literacy Program each month. Gifts like this one are what enable us to give the gift of reading to the students in ECISD. Bookworms Literacy Program is designed to help increase literacy and foster a lifelong love of reading. Each month, students will read along to a story in class and then receive a book to take home to keep in an effort to promote at-home family reading, a news release said. The primary objective of the Bookworms Literacy Program is to reinforce at home what the students has learned about books and reading in school. Students will recognize that every word they speak can be represented by print in books as well as in their own written creations. Hold their books correctly and understand that they must read from the left to the right and from the top to the bottom. Identify and recognize the importance of the different parts of their books. Begin to identify the elements of a story, such as the setting, characters, and main idea. Learn to use key elements of the book, such as illustrations, to predict what may happen in the story. The Bookworms Literacy Program is fully funded through grants, donations made to the Education Foundation of Odessa. For information on how you can help grow this program, please call 432-456-7059. U.S. Attorney announces resignation. OA News at OAOA.com. U.S. Attorney John F. Bash announced Monday that he will resign from the Department of Justice at 11:59 p.m. Friday. This Friday, 8 years to the day after I first joined the Department of Justice, I will step down as United States Attorney for the Western District of Texas. Last month, I accepted an offer for a position in the private sector and informed the Attorney General of my decision. I tendered formal letters of resignation to both the President and the Attorney General this morning. I am grateful to the President, Senator John Cornyn, Senator Ted Cruz, and the other members of the United States Senate for the opportunity to serve the people of Texas. I am also grateful to former counsel to the President, Donald F. McGahn II, who gave me steadfast support throughout the nomination and confirmation process, and to former Solicitor General Donald B. Verrilli, Jr., for first bringing me into the department in 2012, Bash said in a news release. In the release, Bash said the Attorney General has elected to appoint Greg Sofer to succeed him as U.S. Attorney. He is a veteran Department of Justice attorney, serving first in the National Security Division at Main Justice, and then for over a decade as a national security specialist in our Austin office. In the latter role, he built a reputation as a dogged and tremendously effective prosecutor. In 2018, I selected Greg to serve as our office's criminal division chief, where he designed and implemented significant improvements to our operations, oversaw thousands of prosecutions, and provided me with invaluable advice on a range of important issues and cases. Since early this year, he has served in Washington, D.C. as counselor to the Attorney General. He will make an excellent U.S. attorney, Bash stated. Bash, 39, was appointed by President Trump to the position of United States Attorney in December 2017. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, October 6th, 2020. Opinion. National View. The picture of a broken tax system. The Point. Donald Trump's tax returns illustrate the profound inequities of the tax code and the shambolic state of a federal enforcement. In the years before he became president, Donald Trump lived lavishly while paying little in federal income taxes. The Times reported that Mr. Trump paid no taxes in 10 of the 15 years immediately preceding his run for the White House. In each of the following 2 years, 2016 and 2017, he paid the token sum of $750. Remove Mr. Trump's current job from the picture, and what remains is a story that still demands attention. The portrait of a man who earned hundreds of millions of dollars, lived a life of comic excess, and yet, in many years, paid nothing in federal income taxes, is an indictment of the federal income tax system. It illustrates the profound inequities of the tax code and the shambolic state of enforcement. The government has sharply reduced the share of income that it collects in taxes from the wealthiest Americans. One recent study found that the 400 wealthiest households paid 70% of their total income in federal, state, and local taxes in 1950, 47% in 1980, and 23% in 2018. The cuts in tax rates have come mostly at the federal level. The government allows income to be sheltered from taxation for hundreds of different reasons, but real estate investors have long enjoyed a particularly sweet set of loopholes. A homeowner can write off the interest payments on a mortgage loan, but the owners of commercial buildings get a host of other benefits, too. It's relatively easy for real estate investors to use past losses to offset income, to defer income, and to avoid reporting some kinds of income. Best of all, the law lets investors claim a building is depreciating in value, a theoretical loss of money, even as the actual value increases. "I love depreciation," Mr. Trump said during the 2016 campaign. Moreover, the formidable complexity of the tax code makes it difficult to tell when wealthy taxpayers have crossed legal lines. For the rich, taxation often becomes a kind of structured negotiation between the taxpayer's experts and the government's experts. It's not a fair fight. The rich keep getting richer, while the Internal Revenue Service keeps getting smaller. Republicans in Congress have slashed funding for the IRS, stripping the agency of expertise, resources, and authority. The number of IRS auditors has fallen by one-third since 2010. The government employs fewer people to chase deadbeats than at any time since the 1950s. The share of all tax returns subject to an audit declined by 46% from 2010 to 2018, according to the Congressional Budget Office. Astonishingly, the decline was even steeper for millionaires. The audit rate fell 61% over the same period. Legend has it that the bank robber Willie Sutton said that he robbed banks because that's where the money is. The IRS has been reduced to going where the money isn't. As ProPublica has reported, the government now audits lower-income households that claim the earned income tax credit at roughly the same frequency as high-income households. It's easier for the depleted agency to pick on people who can't afford to hire expensive tax attorneys. The result? On current trends, the federal government will fail to collect $7.5 trillion in taxes over the next decade, about 15% of the total amount owed. Cracking down on rich tax cheats is law enforcement. It is a basic function of government to ensure that people are playing by the rules. Tax cheating is not a victimless crime. Every dollar hidden from the government is that much less money to spend on education, roads, and research. The rich are benefiting at the expense of everyone else. It would be relatively easy to start collecting some of that money. The Congressional Budget Office estimated in July that adding $40 billion to the IRS budget over the next decade would yield $103 billion in otherwise uncollected federal income taxes. The methodology of that estimate is extremely conservative, as Natasha Sarin, an assistant law professor at the University of Pennsylvania, and Lawrence Summers, an economics professor at Harvard, noted in a July paper. Dr. Sarin and Dr. Summers estimated that fully restoring IRS funding and modernizing collection techniques would allow the government to collect $1 trillion of the unpaid taxes. Mr. Trump claimed a tax refund of $72.9 million in 2010, according to the Times report. The government paid the claim and then opened an investigation. If Mr. Trump loses, he could owe the government more than $100 million in repayment, interest, and penalties. It should not take federal authorities more than a decade to determine whether Mr. Trump has paid the full amount he owes. Paying taxes is a civic duty, and the government needs the money. Most Americans try to pay what they owe, even if they wish they owed less, and they take comfort in the assumption that most of their neighbors are conducting themselves in the same way. Americans deserve to know that the president has paid his taxes, too. The New York Times. Amy Coney Barrett's malignant view of the Constitution. One of the chief dividing lines in American politics is how Supreme Court justices interpret the Constitution. Rarely has that line been brighter than today. The enthusiasm for Amy Coney Barrett grows from a belief among conservatives that the court has been too creative in reading the Constitution and that her arrival will put a stop to such abuses. Upon her nomination to the court, the White House said she has demonstrated a steadfast dedication to upholding the Constitution as written and not legislating from the bench. Barrett said Senator John Cornyn, R. Texas, supports an independent judiciary that interprets the law and Constitution as written. Barrett is of the school of legal thought known as originalism, which emphasizes rigorous adherence to the text of the Constitution and the intentions of those who brought it into being. Among its adherents are Justices Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, and the late Antonin Scalia, for whom Barrett clerked. In its usual billing, this approach sounds unassailable. Who wants judges to ignore the words of the Constitution? Who wants judges to effectively legislate from the bench according to their own whims? Even liberal justices and scholars give considerable weight to the literal text of the Constitution and what it meant at the time it was ratified. But strict fidelity to originalism is a bit like strict compliance with all traffic laws, more appealing in theory than in practice. The attacks on legislating from the bench go back to the 1950s, when the court, under Chief Justice Earl Warren, banned racial segregation in public schools. William F. Buckley's conservative magazine, National Review, called the decision an act of judicial usurpation that ran patently counter to the intent of the Constitution. In some respects, that was true, but it was also the right decision. Warren was vilified on the right as long as he was on the bench, but where would we be without the Warren Court? Before it acted, as University of Chicago law professors Jeffrey Stone and David Strauss wrote in their book, Democracy and Equality, states were free to ban interracial marriage, impose poll taxes to disenfranchise African Americans, forbid the sale of contraceptives, and violate the principle of one person, one vote. Police didn't have to inform suspects of their rights, and evidence acquired in illegal searches could be used in court. Would conservatives really want to restore the unconscionable practices this liberal court ruled against? If so, they aren't likely to admit it. Maybe they think it's the more recent activist decisions that really deserve to be overturned, but they have to contend with the fact that most Americans wouldn't agree. It has only been in recent decades that the court has held that the Constitution forbids discrimination on the basis of sex. Not until 1996 did it decide that state universities can't ban women. Almost everything Ruth Bader Ginsburg achieved in her celebrated life came about because the court departed from originalism. Without rulings that exemplified judicial activism, gays could be put in jail for sodomy, barred from marrying, and fired from their jobs for being gay. The viewing of pornography could be criminalized, families of brain-dead patients could be blocked from terminating life support, there would be no constitutional right to privacy. When Donald Trump and other GOP politicians talk about the role of the Supreme Court, they rely on gauzy generalities, such as the intent of the framers, judicial restraint, and strict construction. They rarely ventured to praise the oppressive laws that were struck down by liberal justices. Funny thing, they have no stomach for defending the indefensible. Conservatives opposed these decisions. Once they were issued, though, Americans quickly accepted the outcome as just and sensible and showed no desire to go back to what prevailed before. The sanctioning of discrimination against women seemed natural before the court moved against it. Today, it would seem intolerable. Any principled theory of constitutional interpretation applied by the court will sometimes yield unfortunate policy results. Otherwise, it's just policymaking masquerading as jurisprudence. But when your mode of interpretation consistently leads to bad conclusions, the clear implication is that there is something fundamentally wrong with your mode of interpretation. The very one championed by Amy Coney Barrett. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, said Jesus of Nazareth, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. He wasn't talking about horticulture. He was talking about false prophets. Stephen Chapman. Chapman writes for the Chicago Tribune as well as being a syndicated columnist. Find out more. Read Chapman's daily blog, www.chicagotribune.com/news/opinion/Chapman. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, October 6th, 2020. Obituary and death notices. Obituary. John Scott Duckering, Odessa. John Scott Duckering died unexpectedly in Odessa, Texas, on September 30th, 2020. He was 74. He is preceded in death by his mother and father and his brother and sister, Don Charles Duckering and Laurel Anita Short. He is survived by the love of his life, Donna Duckering, his daughter, Tasha N. Duckering, two sisters, Sarah Duckering Reed and Linda Duckering Wright, and stepbrother, Richard Farley. John was born in Odessa, Texas, on October 15, 1945, to Agnes Marguerite Scott and Donald Neil Duckering. His mother's family, the Scotts, owned the Scott Theater Firm, four popular theaters located in and around Odessa. The Scott, the Plains Drive-In, the Rio, and the Twin Terrace Drive-In. A graveside service will be held in his honor at Ector County Cemetery Friday, October 9th at 9 a.m. All are welcome to celebrate the life of John. In lieu of flowers, please send donations in his name to the Museum of the Southwest in Midland, Texas. Megan Buck, 432-683-2882, extension 303, or CECK@museumsw.org. Condolences can be sent to Donna Duckering, DJHIOK59@yahoo.com, or to Tasha Duckering at TashaDuckering@gmail.com. Services entrusted to Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Death notices. Madalano Castro Eleno Galindo, Odessa. Madalano Castro Eleno Galindo, 67, died Friday, October 2nd, 2020, in Odessa, Texas. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa, Texas. Jose Alberto Betito Machuca, Odessa. Jose Alberto Betito Machuca, 47, of Odessa, died Saturday, October 3rd, 2020, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. Thursday, October 8th, 2020, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Rodney Terrell Sims, Odessa. Rodney Terrell Sims, 54, of Odessa, Texas, died Monday, September 28th, 2020, in Odessa, Texas. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Irma Tatum, Odessa. Irma Tatum, 87, died Friday, October 2nd, 2020, in Odessa, Texas. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa, Texas. James Ray Tenner, Midland. James Ray Tenner, 66, of Odessa, died Monday, September 28, 2020, in Midland. Funeral service is scheduled to be held at 11 a.m., October 7, 2020, at Living Vision Ministries. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Elder James Porter is officiating. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home of Odessa.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, October 4th, 2020. Start with trust. BBB study shows virtual vehicle vendor and escrow scams. By Heather Massey, Regional Director of the Better Business Bureau in the Permian Basin. www.bbb.org 563-1880. Used car sales and scams involving vehicles have surged during the pandemic. Buyers shop for a used car online and ask to see it in person, but the seller uses COVID-19 as an excuse to avoid meeting. The buyer sends the money to purchase the car, but it never arrives. Scammers will use photos and descriptions from other advertisements to sell a vehicle that doesn't exist. Once a buyer decides they want the car, they are asked to wire money to a third-party escrow business, which is actually operated by the scammer. A September 2020 BBB study on virtual vehicle vendor scams revealed consumers 55 to 64 years of age were the largest demographic reporting this type of fraud to Scam Tracker. Of those reporting escrow scams, 41% reported losing money, and the study projects that more than $1 million will be lost in 2020. How can you recognize a scam like this? Red flags include prices far below market value, refusing to meet in person, and claiming emotional or urgent reasons for the vehicle needing to be sold quickly. Fraudulent sellers insist it is safe to send them money, and the transaction is protected by an independent third-party shipping company. Scammers often use eBay's name to seem more legitimate. They may even use fake invoices with eBay Motors letterhead. If you're looking to purchase a car online, use these tips from your Better Business Bureau to avoid escrow scams. Do your research. Reverse engine search images of the car or look up any unusual phrases in the description. You can also use who.is to learn how long escrow or shipping company websites have been active. Comparing it to how long the company claims to have been operated can help you determine the website's validity. Shop smart. As you consider different ways, check their Kelley Blue Book value. So you can recognize prices that are suspiciously low. When you are ready to buy, refrain from paying over wire transfer or prepaid gift cards. Pay with a credit card, which can protect you if you need to dispute a charge. Get a vehicle history report. You can request a vehicle history report from Carfax or AutoCheck. Vehicle history reports show not only its accident and service history, but ownership history as well. This can help verify that the car you are purchasing is legitimate. Visit BBB.org to read the full study.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, October 5th. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. United Supermarkets, 2751 County Road West, is offering drive-up and go flu shots from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays through October 29th outside store location Flu Shot Tent. Flu immunizations are available for free with most insurance, no copayment unless required by your plan. Completing a consent form before you arrive will save you time. Wear a face covering during the immunization. Bring both your prescription and medical insurance cards. Wear clothing that provides easy access to your upper arm. For a consent form or more information, visit www.unitedsupermarkets.com/flu clinic. To reach a pharmacy team member, call 333-1591. Senior Life has scheduled the Texas-sized garage sale benefiting Meals on Wheels, beginning with an exclusive shopping experience from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Wednesday at 407 East Scarber Drive in Midland. Cocktails and snacks will be served. Tickets for Wednesday are $50 and are available at eventbrite.com, tinyurl.com/Y64BDVNG, or by calling 689-6693. The garage sale will open free to the public for 6 days, with 2 sessions each day, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and from noon to 2 p.m., Friday, Saturday, October 13th, 15th, 20th, and 22nd. Only 100 people will be allowed in during each session. Masks are required. Masks will not be provided. Sponsorships are available. For more information, visit www.seniorlifemidland.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, October 3rd, 2020. Firehouse Subs Foundation Fundraiser. In honor of its 15th anniversary, a virtual medallion in the amount of $1, $5, $15, or $30. This year's campaign theme, Help the Helpers, emphasizes that the need to help first responders has never been greater, as frontline heroes are battling COVID-19. And seemingly endless natural disasters on top of their usual call volume, a news release said. All funds raised will benefit Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation and help provide life. October 15th, Firehouse Subs loyalty members will be able to earn the following bonus points when donating online via firstrespondersmonth.org. Donate $5 and receive 2,000 points. Donate $10 and receive 5,000 points. Donate $15 and receive 10,000 points. Donate $30 or more and receive 15,000 points.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, October 5th. Man in critical condition after traffic accident. A 30-year-old Odessa man was in critical condition Sunday following a traffic accident Saturday night in northwest Odessa. At approximately 7:47 p.m. Saturday, Odessa Police and Odessa Fire Rescue responded to 42nd Street and Kermit Highway in reference to a major crash involving a motorcycle, according to a release issued by the Odessa Police Department. Investigation revealed that a Harley-Davidson motorcycle operated by Isaac Woodward was traveling westbound on 42nd Street. Woodward struck a curb and went through a field before striking an 18-wheeler parked in the parking lot of the Stripes convenience store at 4020 Kermit Highway, according to the Odessa Police Department release. Woodward was transported to a local hospital with life-threatening injuries. There were no reports of any other injuries. Alcohol was a possible contributing factor.
Rules sometimes restrict donations. Dear Dr. Roach, I lived in England in 1985-1986 during the Mad Cow Disease outbreak. Since then, I have been ineligible to give blood. It is one of the few questions they ask. This has been 35 years, and obviously I don't have and have never had the disease itself. Is this still a valid reason to rule me out as a blood donor? B.R. Answer. Variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease was epidemic in the United Kingdom, and to a lesser extent, Ireland and France, from 1981 to 1996. By preventing blood donation from people who lived in the UK for more than 6 months during that time period, it is estimated that 90% of future VCJD could be prevented in the US. Incubation periods of 40 years have been reported for a similar disease, Kuru, which is why the prohibition against blood donation remains. However, the absolute risk is very low, both to you and to the blood supply. Blood banks must make decisions based on not only improving the safety of the blood supply, but also to improve people's confidence that the blood supply is safe. They have also considered how many potential donors they are turning away. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, October 6th, 2020, etc. Friendship ends after 30-year relationship. Dear Abby, I need help moving past the end of a long-time friendship. I don't know what happened. My friend, my former college roommate, just drifted away. After school, we continued to be friends, not besties, but we would meet for coffee or dinner a few times a year. Fast forward 25 years. She called me the day she left her husband, 10 years ago, to tell me the news. I was her emotional lifeline for a few days, and it was intense. We continued to be in touch a few times a year. Then a few years ago, I sent a message suggesting we meet soon. She replied that she was busy, would get back to me about a date, but she never did. I waited 6 months and again suggested we meet. She replied that she had a conflict, but would let me know a date that would work. She didn't do it. I didn't reach out again and haven't heard from her since. It has been 3 years, and I know through other sources she is doing well. I'm having difficulty dealing with being dropped after a 30-year friendship. I can't think of anything I did to cause it, and I don't understand how a friendship like that can just be kaput. What do you think? Disappointed in Washington. Dear Disappointed, I find it interesting that when this woman was in turmoil, she reached out to you. However, after her marriage and the emotional dust-up that surrounded it, I suspect that she may have decided to close that chapter of her life. You stated that the two of you didn't stay in contact other than a few times a year. Think back. Did she contact you only when she needed emotional support? If that's the case, recognize the relationship for what it was. Now that she is doing well, she may be firmly focused on the present rather than the past, and frankly, although it may sting, I think you should do the same. Dear Abby, I have a family friend who at one time I considered to be like a sister. The issue is, my family hosts her family every Thanksgiving. They are never invited. They just say they are coming over. They bring drinks, more for themselves than for us. Their kids run around, break things, and behave disrespectfully, while the parents seem to regard the behavior as amusing. They also bring along Tupperware for leftovers, but don't bother staying around to help clean up. When my family told them we weren't cooking for Thanksgiving last year, her response was that they'd do something just for their immediate family. I was shocked, because my family has hosted them for more than 15 years. I have kept my distance since, but I'm still upset about it. How do I bring up the subject without anyone getting their feelings hurt? Returning the favor. Dear Returning the Favor, why are you worried about bruising the feelings of these self-entitled people? They haven't shown they are concerned about your family's feelings. Be glad to be rid of them. If the subject comes up, tell her that your family has again made other plans for Thanksgiving. Just your immediate family. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren, write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Jacqueline Begar Stars by Madeline Aysen for Tuesday, October 6th, 2020. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Libra and a moon in Taurus until 11:03 p.m. when the moon enters Gemini. Happy birthday for Tuesday, October 6th, 2020. Optimistic, fun, and vivacious, you live life to the fullest. You have a desire to improve the lives of others. This year, you get your own way in your career, and your finances improve exponentially. If single, you give all for love and might choose the wrong partner. Until next year. If attached, your partner is your romantic ideal, and you paint a vivid picture together. Gemini entertains you the most. Aries, March 21st through April 19th, 5 stars. You can have a deeper understanding of the psyche of a sibling. Keep relations with neighbors peaceful. An organized schedule helps you relieve stress. This is an active day with many projects in progress. Tonight, you're learning a great deal in regard to life experience. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th, 4 stars. Today emphasizes appreciation of possessions. You add to a collection or find a treasure. If you need a new piece of jewelry, you can locate the perfect item now. Browsing online is an appealing pastime. Tonight, serious talk with a family member. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th, 5 stars. Your charm carries you a long way today. The pleasant impression you're projecting opens doors to preferments you've long deserved. An old friend puts in a kind word. You can combine friendly interaction with business matters. Tonight, your kind of night. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd, 2 stars. Today makes you sympathetic and helpful, but also more emotional than usual. You'll put changes on hold and recognize a temporary need for conformity. Get extra rest and be patient with yourself. Tonight, old memories are strong. Try some journaling. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd, 5 stars. Today is the start of a tremendous growth and opportunity cycle. Your standard of living is about to improve. Be alert for opportunities for promotion. Believe in yourself and try new projects. Tonight, breaking counterproductive old habits from the past. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd, 4 stars. Today places your professional reputation under scrutiny. Be absolutely sure of details. Take a moment to verify and check the facts. Little annoyances clear up magically, and you enjoy a productive time. Tonight, a new and very important career contact is made. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd, 5 stars. You'll be inventive, will communicate well, and can initiate improvements at work. Your willingness to experiment impresses the right people. Specific potentials come to light. Share scientific and metaphysical concepts. Tonight, let friends know and celebrate a day well done. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st, 5 stars. You will find ways to fulfill a cherished dream. Today allows you to show others your potential. Opportunities come. It's also a good time to make decisions about personal matters and health care. Tonight, delighting in artistic or spiritual growth. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st, 4 stars. There are tremendous opportunities and an avalanche of ideas and projects. You might feel overwhelmed. Try not to take on too much. You realize that everyone needs a great deal from you. Tonight, avoid a partner who has been a disappointment in the past. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th, 3 stars. Accept what you feel is inevitable. Resist the temptation to complain about routine chores and count your blessings. Health and fitness are a focus. Don't postpone a dentist appointment if it's needed. Tonight, look at competitors as motivating influences to inspire you. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th, 3 stars. You'll enjoy gambles and intriguing risks. Adventurous leisure activities have appeal. Regarding love, you'll seek a solution that is thrilling rather than safe and secure. Business takes a back seat to social and creative interests. Tonight, too much time online. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th, 3 stars. Today brings changes at work. You will plan leisure or vacation activities, but should fulfill responsibilities related to home and family life first. Loyalty and what it really means to you is an issue. Tonight, your career path starts to take a new direction. Born today, engineer George Westinghouse, 1846. Actress Elizabeth Shue, 1963.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.